It's time to spark it up with the Cantilinguists.
I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed.
The fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere.
With your hosts, April O'Connor.
You need to smoke weed after you go to the whorehouse because you're kind of being contemplative and wondering. Like a store gun store. Check cash in place. Sounds familiar.
And Alex Mandelberg.
It's like Tyson hit her in the vagina. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is, if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Vegas Strip is about to open its first dispensary. Football players are asking for weed. Bernie Sanders' stance on weed and the High Times Cup is moving yet again. All the things we are going to talk about here on the Cantilinguists with your hosts, Alex Mandelberg, and the awesome, always high April O'Connor. How you doing?
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew. And the guest, one of my dear, close, best friends in the world, the very awesome comedian, the Seattle native son, Justin Ruppel.
That was way too much energy for stoners.
I like to open it
just
hot.
Special effects.
I always like to open
it
hot. I didn't
expend any energy.
And then
to
we
that.
Just hit the couch and just like lay down real. Yeah. I get real calm with it.
Hit the couch after you hit the bong.
Exactly. Like, you know, it's a real big hard opening and then we relax.
Nice. Good.
So, you know, how you doing, Justin?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I noticed you're wearing your Mariners jacket today. I know you're one of those guys who's very excited that pitchers and catchers report and all that stuff. You probably check spring training scores and all that.
Well, I know not to. We already started, obviously. We're already into the first games. But I don't pay much attention to the spring league. I'm just excited to get.
You're excited that the baseball season is coming.
Listen, I have a football hangover.
That's understandable that you can have.
And the only cure is baseball.
Yeah, no, because baseball is kind of like that nice thing to. It's mundane enough that you're just like you can mellow out from the high intensity of football that just is always running you to the and then baseball's just like, no man, fucking strikes, balls, they right. come all the time.
So,
it's cool.
Yeah, so many
you're good.
So many games. It's like,
so many games.
It's like, it's okay
the
if they lose this
long,
one. They just
so
got to win the
hope.
Series. It's
oh cool. My God, a guy just tore his ACL. He's going to be out 6 months. You're like, okay, so we'll make it back for the playoffs. You're like, oh, well, shit. It's
they
kind
play
of amazing.
The most games.
They do. They play the most amount of games of any sport in the world. But yeah, it's that's. I still love baseball. I have that. I've been going to games since I was a kid. I've been lucky enough the last few years. I've caught so many foul balls because of the seats that
we share.
You've caught a few.
I've caught two.
You've caught two.
Two
in my seats.
Well, no. One was in your seat. One was in Safeco.
Yeah, oh, that's right. One was in Safeco. You did catch the one in Safeco.
I am looking forward to my second foul ball, which I will also be keeping.
You can keep. Listen, I got lucky. I got to the point that every time I catch
a
foul ball
rule.
Now, I have a rule. Unless it's a special player, special moment, if I catch a foul ball now, if there's a young kid sitting aww. Within arm reach of me, I give that kid the ball.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because I, as a baseball fan, acknowledge that baseball is boring and dying as a popular sport in America. And if you give a kid a baseball at a game when he's a kid, a tiny
oh,
little kid,
yeah.
he fucking loves baseball
yeah.
forever. Forever he loves baseball.
I remember the first time it happened,
I gave it to a kid who was there with his grandfather, and the grandfather looked at me and he said, you just made his decade. Not day, not week, not year, decade. I was like, you know what? If I did, that's an awesome
mm-hmm.
thing. So now... anytime I'm like, dude, that ball will mean way more to a kid than it means to me.
Right.
Always will mean more to that kid. And that kid might love baseball forever, which might save the sport that I kind of love.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you.
You usually do.
As I do. And April's patiently waiting, but I will just say this. You want to make somebody love a game that's about patience and suffering, like baseball is.
I get where you're going.
I'll tell you what you do. You reach over the kid's head, you grab it out of the sky, and you say, when you get older and you get a better starting four pitching squad, this ball can be yours. And you teach him a lesson about payoffs and rewards. You try being a Seattle Mariners fan.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's like the best regular season that you guys ever – the greatest regular season ever. I'll say this and then we'll move on. It's giving him the ball, that's that great season. And the knock in the face is the next 10 years of his life that suck. So I'm giving him that little win. That lets him know, maybe if I stick around, I might get this again.
I disagree.
Maybe. That's my thing.
Let's get to the cannabis.
So the first story.
No, I'm totally okay with
the first story is, well, no, because I want to get to the first story because it's about a subject that I fucking love, Las Vegas.
Yeah.
The Las Vegas Strip is going to open its first marijuana dispensary.
It opened on Tuesday.
It's already open. I'm fucking excited.
And there are 16 open for business in Southern Nevada.
Ha-cha-cha.
Yeah.
That you can go into with your California medical license.
Wait, can you?
Yes, you can. It's an amnesty. State. That's a good tongue twister.
Well, here's the thing. It's open on the Strip, but good luck.
It's going to be busy.
Well, no, that's not the only thing. Do you think it's going to be smoked anywhere near the Strip or on the Strip?
Well, that is the big, you know, misnomer of with Vegas, where there's so many strict laws about where you can't. They're saying you can't smoke in the casino floor.
No way.
You can't. Now, if you have a smoking room, though, obviously, smoke away in your room.
The argument can be made by super conservative people who would be like, listen, it gets in the system. If I smell it, then I might get high. Private property. It's the private property.
It's their own thing. But I think you and I would both agree that this was the question I was going to get to is if you were staying in a non-smoking room. And I said, you have to smoke one of these two, gun to your head, you have to smoke one of these two things, marijuana or a cigarette.
Right.
Which smell do you think you can get out so you don't get charged $250?
Well, we all know it's marijuana.
I'm not going to say that I have, but I'll say that I have more than one occasion been in a non-smoking room that I've smoked marijuana in with no worry because the window opened enough that I'm like, with the cold air blowing overnight and a couple shoots of Febreze,
The window doesn't even have to open. You just have to leave a tip for the maid. Come on, people.
Well,
and the expert speaks up. She quietly waits for a few moments till the idiot shut up, gets her jab in like a quiet weed ninja. Leave a tip for the maid. Ta ta ta. Both you idiots are dead. That's the correct answer.
I had
a comedian give me I won't say his name because who knows if he'd want to be mentioned in this. What we did in his very nice hotel room is stand on top of his toilet, we put a towel underneath the door.
Is that why you make us do that?
Yeah, he put a towel under two doors.
Rupple makes us put towels under the door.
Wet towels.
Oh, no. Okay, you don't go that far.
I don't understand because smoke rises.
I know.
Right. But we do it anyways. Because we want this false sense of protection.
No, here's why. Here's the reason why.
I'm listening.
There's a reason. As you guys are well aware, most casinos or most hotels have very strong air conditioning systems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the way most air conditioning systems work is, let's say you open up a window to blow smoke out. Okay,
I haven't seen any hotels with windows that open in Vegas.
They open like cracks,
cracks, right?
Cracks,
or any hotel. You've been in shitty hotels where they're like, please don't smoke in the room. Right?
Yeah, but they also had hookers, so I was like, sure. No.
Like Medford, Oregon? No, but what I'm saying, like you open a window, right? Well, the way an AC system works is it sucks air up.
Yeah.
It has a suction system, right? So when you open up a window in your room, all the air from inside your room is going to be sucked out by the giant fan in the center of the hallway that's running everything. So what you essentially want to do is say, listen, if I'm going to have this air sucked out, I'm going to stop this 2-inch gap that they put under the door into the hallway so that it's not like the smell is being just drug out into the hallway by this giant AC fan. So it's not about getting the smoke out there. It's about getting the AC pulling it out.
Because I don't know if Vegas is it just me, but well, you just went to Vegas. Tell me that 2 out of 3 times you walk down your hallway in your hotel to go to your room in Vegas. Tell me you don't smell weed.
Every time you smell it.
And it was, and I know you, Ruppel, so I know it wasn't your room.
No, it was not my room. But
because you are the most paranoid motherfucker in the world.
That's right.
We the first time we were in Reno, he spent the better part of a walk from Harrah's to Circus Circus worried that we were going to get busted for weed in our room. And it was kind of hilarious. It was adorable. It was kind of lit. But getting back to the point of the story, so a shop opening on the Strip in Vegas, isn't this a good thing?
Yeah, it's called Essence, and it's actually – it looks more like a high-end jewelry store. And there's display cases with all the different fancy pastries.
Is the worry that I'm guessing the worry is that this is going to be like everything else on the Strip. It's going to be overpriced like a motherfucker.
Well, yeah, because.
But it might also be. Is it going to be the best of the best like everything in Vegas?
I think it's going to be super fancy stuff. And they're saying the Essence, they also have one in Henderson that's going to be open later this month. And then they have one. What's it say? It's one of 3 locations. There's the one on the Strip, and then on Sahara Avenue, and then
one on the west side. This is one I'm sure that's owned by one of these big casino companies.
Because
the casino companies have been saying, we'll only allow weed on the Strip if we're allowed involved in it.
And there's only 12,000 registered medical marijuana cards out right now in Nevada, so... But they're dumping millions of dollars into the industry. So I think that because they are taking out of state recs,
they know that they're getting
a tourism thing. And
yeah, this is a complete tourism
thing. It's gonna be a good thing. I'm looking forward to
now. Rubble would argue, I think, that this might not be a good thing for the economy of Vegas.
For the economy of Vegas?
For the restaurants.
For economy of Vegas is a bad thing.
Why?
Well, as a man who's been high in Vegas more than his share of just about anybody I know.
Who isn't high in Vegas?
Well, as it turns out, not a lot of people.
Most people, I think, don't smoke weed in Vegas. I think a lot more people.
I think I was saying blanketly, like high.
Oh, well, that's the thing.
If the word's inebriated, everybody.
Everybody.
But if you break down the amount of, if you break down the substance use, I think you would probably find that if you go to Vegas,
alcohol and cocaine are number one and two.
Alcohol and multiple kinds of speed, which I would include ecstasy in that.
Even if marijuana were able to somehow pull down the bronze medal, they were far off. Like they weren't scratching at first or second. They were a distant
here's,
third.
Here's my problem with it, and I'm coming at it as a fan of marijuana. Just remember that.
Oh, yeah. No, I know you love it.
Vegas used to be – but they were dicks about marijuana.
They used to be. Yeah,
I remember trying to buy weed on the Strip when I was young and stupid at 21 when I first went there. And it was – I knew the penalty and I still wanted it. But here was the problem. Up until recently, I didn't even gamble in Vegas because I'd usually get high. Well – gambling will significantly go down if people are smoking weed.
I don't know. I rip my vape pen at the roulette table.
Would you or would you not admit that drunk or on some kind of upper, be it cocaine, ecstasy, any of those, you are far more likely to gamble money at a higher rate and speed than if you're smoking weed and you're sitting at a penny slot just every 10 seconds being like, and hitting the button and
I don't care how high you get me, I'm not going to sit and play a fucking penny slot. Sorry.
Well, I'm sorry that you're better than us there, Miss Nickel Slots.
All right, let me tell you. All right,
I just think that's just boring as fuck.
All right, April. let me put it this way. If I were to give you $100 in cash, 20s, right?
Uh-huh.
Or $100 drunk and turn you loose in a casino and say, you don't have to spend it. You don't have to spend this $100 in this casino. If you were drunk, I guarantee you'd walk around and be like, I don't have to, but you know what?
I'm gonna,
because this is a free $100. Like I do. When I get drunk, I take the money and I'm like, fuck,
I'm drunk.
Put
$100 on black.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, like whatever. But if I was stoned and you gave me $100 and said, you don't have to spend it here, I'd be like, deuces. You know where I'm going?
The Bellagio
Food.
Fountain.
The Bellagio Fountain. I'm going outside.
The Bellagio is exactly where I would go to.
I'm walking, bitches. I'm just going to walk around with my headphones on. This is a crazy tripping balls place. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, look, I don't want to get high and sit in front of a slot machine. If I get drunk, I will.
So, like I said, it's going to do great for revenue at the restaurants.
Sure.
Well, certainly the restaurants.
People are still going to gamble. I don't think there's going to be a difference because I just think that it's just more things for people to be fucked up on and more.
I bet you see a downturn of about 20% in gambling once marijuana becomes prevalent. I bet you see 20%. Now, will that come up in some other ways?
But not everybody smokes weed.
No, but the people who go to get elevated will take a substitute of alcohol if their weed isn't present. And right now, the accessibility of weed up until today or Tuesday was very hard.
Yeah, it was not easy to get. Didn't we just establish
that we've been smoking weed in Vegas and that nothing's really changing except the fact that I can walk into a store and
I'll tell you a story.
Tell me if this sounds like every time you've been to Vegas, April.
When you were younger, maybe not now. All right. You brought some weed with you, right, to Vegas. You're like, we're going to Vegas for 3 days or 4 days, right?
Yeah.
Day one, you break out the weed, right? Then a few more people show up than you were expecting. Now everybody wants to hit the weed. Well, everybody seems to have forgot their weed in the room, right? Now and you're like, well, of course I brought enough for me for 3 days, but I smoke a lot more than most people, so I brought enough for me. But hey, you know, it's okay. I got some in the room. I'll take care of it later. Two rounds go by. Now all of a sudden, you got barely enough to get you through the next 3 days because everybody they took your weed down, and then conveniently, you never see those fuckheads again because they leave your room.
Yep.
And now for the next 3 days,
scavengers.
Now for the next 3 days,
scavengers.
All you got is like one nug left, and you're like, how am I supposed to find some weed in Vegas? You don't. Like, no one's going to, they're going to sell you some.
I'm very resourceful.
You're a redheaded woman.
We're talking about for us, April.
We're talking about for the troglodytes.
And
the fact that you think that I would not have enough weed to cover a few fucking scavengers is like,
what did I just say? Even if I was younger. Not you, April. Like, back in the day, like, paycheck to paycheck, April. Like, occasionally you caught like a
21 year 7 months.
When I was 21, I had all of the drugs.
I had all of the alcohol. Can I have all the ham?
All right.
Let me tell you a little story. When I was 21, I went to Vegas, okay? And I had to come from Washington. And there was no way to get it. So I had a friend of mine hook up an eighth. And what do you know? I had to pay like $65 for this eighth of weed.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Right? Leafy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Not great.
I was happy with it. Everybody wanted to smoke my weed, right?
Speaking of smoking weed.
Everybody wanted
closing
to smoke.
Closing out on the 20-minute mark.
Everybody smoked my weed. Now, cut to, we all go out. I don't spend any money on gambling or whatever because I'm high. I'm having a good old time just watching everybody else fucking lose their money and da-da-da-da-da-da, right? Cut to, back in the room, I go to find my weed. It's not there.
Of course not.
It's gone, right? Here's what really pisses me off. I go, and my buddy's like, oh, I don't know where it went. You must have smoked it all. I'm like, No, I know how much I have at all times. He's like, no, you must have smoked it all. I'm like, no, it's not fucking possible. I had to walk down to the strip. I'm like, I'm not a big alcohol guy. I didn't want to drink. So I had to walk down the strip, and I was just walking around going, anybody got weed? Anybody got weed? Anybody got weed? I get back to my room. He's laughing his ass off. I went down like incriminating myself like an idiot for an hour on the strip. Turns out he just hid my weed.
Oh, what a dick.
That is cruel.
What a dick. That's a good story.
That was toying with my emotions.
It's a good story to end on. We're going to move on from there. So football. There's a CNN story that apparently football players, or a group of football players, active players, are asking to be allowed to start using marijuana as a substitute for the painkillers and whatnot that are currently being prescribed to them. We've talked a lot on this show about whether it's a performance-enhancing drug, whether it is not, whether the little bits of performance-enhancing abilities that it does have far outweigh anything else that it does also contribute medically. I myself have gone back and forth on this many times. I'm kind of starting to lean back towards the fucking let them smoke it.
We've also covered on here about how besides it being effective for pain management, that it's also a neuroprotectant. Yeah. So that if you already have it in your system when head trauma occurs, it makes the concussion.
It does. I
have no idea what head trauma has to do with football players, so I don't know why you bring that up at all.
THC does act as like a little bit of a film around each one of the neurotransmitters. And it does protect against slight protection. But to add to what you guys are saying, I think what's a bigger issue is that most of these players are getting prescribed one of those 500 pill bottles of Vicodin or Oxycontin, and they're like, go ahead. Now, if you take 2-3 of those because you're a 6'6", 6'7", 300-pound man.
I've many times talked about it, but I think you were one of the few guys who were – I feel like it was you, me, and Jim Kellner who were sitting here when Aaron Rodgers got up for that interview post game and looked just high as a fucking right, and he was adjusting the microphone stand like it was the moons around Uranus.
I've taken my share of painkillers, you know, from dental surgeries, and when they give you the 24, you know, and they're like, listen, it's going to hurt for a while, and you're looking at 24 of those pills. If you take 2 or 3 of those by accident, they back up on you. The next morning, you're still a little woozy, and from what I understand, the higher your body the higher your muscle percentage, the more those things hit you.
Yeah.
So tell me they're not high on those pills.
These guys who are 7% body fat.
So if they're high on that, then let's take away the argument that they could still possibly be high the next day on weed.
Oh, absolutely.
And then let's just get right into the fact that it's a much safer alternative than having your players kidneys and liver blown out by the time they're 50.
Because CNN article that's talking about it. We talk about this a lot, and it mentioned the class action lawsuit that was filed against 32 NFL teams for
all 32. Yeah.
Well, I mean, all the teams, yes. but staff, they said that the staff members and coaches were pushing painkillers onto the players.
Well, of course they are.
Well, to get them back on the field again, but that's not good. It's not good for their livers, but it's not good for their bodies or their longevity as athletes.
You know, here's the thing. Everyone wants to blame the teams, and the teams are very heavy to blame here. I'm not taking the blame off of them. Let's not pretend, though, like these players weren't incentivized to want to rush themselves back onto the field. I mean, they are paid for weeks that they are on the active roster. So if you're inactive, you're not getting paid. Yes, so in their mind, they're going, give me what you got to give me to get me on the field. I got to get paid.
But let's throw that out because, of course, they're incentivized. We're not downgrade. We're not looking down on that. What we're saying is they're going to reach for whatever they can. Let's have them reaching for the thing that won't kill them.
Fair point. Yes. Very good point. Yeah.
I mean, they're NFL players are already having a hard enough time keeping themselves alive after after they've hung up the cleats. We don't need another reason We don't need a whole bunch of players.
The amount of people who I've heard this week say they're like, Peyton Manning's 39. Tell me that's not the most shot out 39-year-old you've ever seen in your life. That's what a lifetime of football can do to a man. Look at Peyton Manning and tell me that's how you want to look when you're 39.
If you think Peyton Manning looks bad, guess who else retired today? Matt Hasselbeck.
Oh, God.
6 months older than Peyton Manning.
Jeez.
Same draft class.
Oh, God.
Peyton still has some hair on top. Matt's just
he's been bald since he was 30, though.
But Matt looks about as old as your high school history teacher.
he does look like he belongs wearing a tweed jacket with elbow patches.
And he's 7 years older than me, okay? 7 years older. I'm sitting here right now.
With your full head of hair.
7 years. So anything we can do to keep these players alive.
Yeah, they're certainly in a place where, the amount of early deaths we've seen, the amount of guys in the past few years who've chose early retirement over risking their body for long term. We just had Calvin Johnson finally officially announce it today. Yeah,
and as April said, if there's anything that's going to protect against head trauma, if there's anything that's going to protect them. What's holding him? What do you think's holding him back?
It's performance enhancing abilities.
Is that what it's saying in the article too?
I mean, that's a topic that that's always been
kind of the big hang up does it have, and if it does, can you allow it in a game where not everyone's using it?
It definitely helps with recovery and obviously pain management.
So post game, wonderful. But we're talking guys smoking pregame.
Right, but that's such bullshit because the NFL loves performance enhancing drugs.
They've gotten very strict on steroids.
I didn't say steroids, did I? Every time I see a player run from end zone to end zone, what does he sit on the sidelines and do?
Celebrate?
No. He sits on the side with a surgical mask.
Breathing oxygen.
Pure oxygen.
O2. O2.
O2. Not the stuff we get to pull out of the air like pure, like the...
Yeah, that stuff will give you a head rush.
That is you want to talk about regenerating and performance enhancing. If I have two wrestlers or two boxers, let's say two boxers, okay? One on at the end of each round gets to sit down with an O2 mask and the other one does not. Which one do you think's winning that fight in the long run?
The one with the O2 would recover a lot better in between.
So they're already saying yes to some things. Mm-hmm. They allow you to take a couple Sudafed.
Yeah, but not enough to reach meth levels.
No, but I'm sure they're even doing like those stem cell injections where they like take out your blood, spin it, and shoot it back into your.
Oh yeah, no, I've heard many. Kobe famously did that in his knee a few years ago to get it, a few years more in his knees.
Yeah. Legal, yep, legal. Look, they're looking for any edge, and I understand that this is does it offer that much of an edge? We've all. April, I don't know your sports background. Did you ever play hide during any of your sports background?
Yeah.
Recreationally?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Did you feel like you were better high than you were not high?
I think my opinion on that is if you learned how to do it high, then you can always do it high. But I feel like if I'm not used to doing something high and then I'm high, I'm a little bit more dumb about it.
See, that's where I was different because I felt like I was markedly better high.
I don't know.
Playing the same sport.
It depends on what I'm doing. Like dancing, obviously. Playing music, obviously.
The first game of rugby I ever played high was one of the best games of rugby I ever played.
Hmm.
Personally, like my own individual play.
Like, when I work at a dispensary, I mean, I could be the most high and I'll never fuck the money up, but... Then if I'm waiting tables, forget it. I you asked me for ketchup, I forgot. Because I'm stealing your french fries before I deliver them to you.
I will say it depends on what you're asking the person to do.
Yeah.
If you're asking the person to remember something, you may be in trouble. Short term, right? Long term memory has been proven not to be a side effect of pot. Long-term memory doesn't seem to be affected. People who start smoking pot seem to remember their childhood.
Getting things into long-term memory maybe
is significantly harder, however, still not as affected as short-term memory. So that being said, if we take memory away, there's some cognitive advantages. You slow down a situation. People mm-hmm. who are high technically feel like they experience a second slower.
Yeah,
I think I drive better.
I felt like I felt like
more
I
relaxed. Sure,
that was the big thing. I felt like when I was playing a contact sport well high, I felt like I had more time to react to things that were happening in front of me. I felt like I could. If you're looking at someone's hips, you're looking at their feet, you're wondering which way they're going to go, and you feel like you have another instance to see. You have another second
it slows
to wait.
Your thoughts down.
You
another instant.
Instant.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. You're saying it's Spidey time.
It's Spidey senses. The Spidey senses.
Yeah. Like the scene in the first one where he's fighting and he's like, whoa, I'm seeing this guy throw a punch like it's coming at slow motion.
So I think we're all on the side of let them smoke. All right. Next moving on. So Bernie Sanders came out with his official stance on weed. He talked pretty candidly about marijuana. You want to cover this one, April?
Please.
No, not really.
No, not really.
Politics is not my forte.
He said his quote was, "I've done marijuana twice in my life when I was very young, and what it did for me is it made me cough a lot. That was my response. But I gather other people have a very different experience." Sanders called heroin a killer drug and pointedly took aim at the Controlled Substances Act, which ranks cannabis alongside heroin in terms of the drugs having high potential for abuse. We all know and people can argue this till the cows come home and scientists dispute it. Marijuana is not heroin. I'm not here advocating for marijuana. Marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug alongside heroin. I agree that the audience booed at that point. He said, I agree. That is why I believe we should take marijuana out of the Federal Controlled Substances Act. Well, so his argument is what I've been saying for a long time, which is we need to concentrate first on rescheduling marijuana. Get it out of Class 1. Get it out of heroin. We're not going to go from it being on the same level as heroin to legalization. That's not going to happen. Right. First step. Get it out of the Controlled Substances Act.
Right. Mm-hmm. Federally.
Get it out of the federal control. Now, I'm happy that Bernie said this. I'm sure most of our listeners of this show are Bernie supporters. I'm gonna venture that if you're listening to this podcast right now, you're probably a Bernie supporter. And know that everything I'm gonna say after this, I myself am also a Bernie supporter. I would cast my ballot in a general election for Bernie Sanders so happily. He's not electable. He just isn't.
Why you wanted to talk about Bernie.
The middle of the country won't fucking vote for an atheist.
What do you mean? Didn't he win like Nebraska?
He won Michigan.
He won Nebraska?
No, he didn't win Nebraska. He won Michigan.
He won a northern heavy Democrat state. Alex, you're taking into consideration that he's running against a viable, realistic candidate on the right. And as it's looking more and more like he's going to be running against a fucking cartoon character.
Donald Trump.
He's going to be running against Yosemite Sam if he was from New York. Like this guy, Bernie Sanders is the yin to Donald Trump's yang. And if you're asking...
They are the perfect dichotomy of how split America is right now.
Both of them are running without being campaign contributed to, theoretically.
Amazingly, too, Donald Trump also very supportive. I love marijuana. I want to grow marijuana. If I'm president, marijuana is going to be huge. It's going to be huge. It's going to be wonderful. He would allow marijuana too. It's kind of weird.
If there was going to be a president who was going to do something positive, it was going to be the president who in his own goddamn memoir talks about selling weed, and he didn't do shit.
All yeah, right. really. And Obama
did. And he did win Nebraska and Kansas.
He did win Nebraska, but.
Just saying.
He's not going to win those against a Republican.
April, you and I are in agreement here. He is electable, and especially if Trump's the horse they're bringing to the race. If that's what you're bringing to the race, you can have anybody run against him. Because the guy says he wants to dip his bullets in bacon and then kill the families of the terrorists. that's something. Those are fucking actual quotes. Those are fucking actual quotes.
Bacon glazed bullets.
Yeah,
what's more American than pig fat?
He said when we go overseas to Arab countries, he calls them Arab countries, Arab Muslim countries.
That sounds like a good dish.
What we should do is we should take bacon grease and drip it over all the bullets, so that way when we kill these motherfuckers, we send them straight to hell. And which, he said, motherfuckers.
Which, by the way, yeah, he actually will say motherfuckers at a rally.
He says it all the Chinese time. Chinese motherfuckers.
Yeah.
The Chinese.
These Chinese motherfuckers.
These Chinese motherfuckers.
I hear what you're saying, but what I'm really trying to wholeheartedly say is that as much as I'd love Bernie to be our candidate, I worry that if he is that opens a door. I think either way, we have to deal with the fact that there is a moderate possibility, not strong, but a moderate possibility that Donald Trump could become president of the United States. There's a 1 in 3 possibility that happens.
Okay. I will accept 1 in 8.
One in five. Let's go 1 in 5.
Fine.
The reason I say 1 in 3 is because I think that the general election
20%.
I think the general election is going to have 3 candidates. That's my assumption. 20%. But that being said, can an atheist really get in a general election a vote in a state that doesn't face an ocean?
Could an atheist have got it 50 years ago? No. Could a country elect an atheist when 57% of the country considers themselves to be agnostic or non-faith-based? Yes.
Yes.
57% as of the census of 2015 do not consider themselves to be part of a religious background. Now, what you said earlier to me the other day is exactly right. That's the argument you should be making. Which is, will the young people come out and vote? Because the 57% I'm quoting are the baby boomers' kids.
Yeah.
My age, 30-year-olds. Will they fucking come out and vote? Who knows?
Yeah, yeah, no.
Who knows?
22
They're
to
definitely going out to the rally.
18 to 32-year-olds could control the election every cycle if they just showed up.
That's the big thing. Fucking sad.
If you people listening to this, all this stuff that I'm saying about you want Bernie to be electable, show up and vote. Every person age 18 to 32 shows up and votes, and because let's face it, everyone 18 to 32, almost all of you are voting for Bernie.
Quick.
If you all show up, Bernie is in the White House already.
Listen. He's perfectly electable. As electable
as a presidential human being,
as electable as Donald Trump is for sure, if not far more,
certainly more,
far more. And I'll say this: quick shout out to Dank memes, Bernie Sanders Dank memes, and Dank Susan, my mother in law has got a big following. She's got about 50,000 followers on. She's Dank Susan for Bernie. She's been posting and doing a lot of work out there.
She's your, what'd you say?
She's my mother-in-law. She's my wife's mother.
Dank Susan.
Yeah. Nice. Bernie's memes. Yeah. Bernie Sanders Dank memes. It's a huge, he's got a lot of online support just like Barack Obama did.
He's got a lot of support. When I say he's unelectable, I feel like I should be very specific about this because, he's very presidential. I feel like he would be wonderful in the White House. I feel like he could do the job wonderfully. Like I said, I support the man for president. I just don't know that he could win enough states in a general election to get the presidency. That is my worry. And if he can't, then the alternative becomes Donald Trump.
Which is, I think he's just a pawn. I think he's just there to like show, like – just how it's Either that or he's working with the Clintons. I mean, he's just so... I can't believe that he is an actual candidate.
Believe it. He's there. He's the front runner. He's going to go... He's not going to get enough delegates to get the nomination, but they're going to go into the...
You're fired.
They're going to go into the convention with him in the delegate lead.
I love his facial expressions. That's like the... He's like a cartoon character.
I will not use the word love in the same sentence as him. Because well, fuck everything about him.
I think his facial expressions are hilarious.
Hilarious, I'll give you.
They are very animated.
There's something more behind this, but and I don't know what it is right now.
Frighteningly hideous.
I think here's the deal. If you want my honest opinion, what he's doing, I think this is it. In 2008, he flirted with running.
He's flirted with running for almost 20 years.
Right. But if you go back and look at his career, 2004, 2008, and 2012, he flirted with it. Corresponding with those years were boosts in his business, whether that be a television show,
yeah,
a new version of a television show,
yeah,
several different weird business ventures. So what he does is he uses this as a platform to sell his speaking engagements and more of his stupid shit.
No, if you're trying to sell me on the idea – but here's the thing. In Donald Trump's mind – okay, so worst case scenario, get a new building, sell a bunch of books, and get on a TV series. Best case scenario, I'm president. That's the problem. Best case scenario for him, he's right. President of the United States of America.
I don't think that – here's the thing, though.
And this is the big question, though. In a general election, do you think he stands a better chance against Bernie or Hillary? Who do you think Donald has a better chance of beating?
Hillary.
See, that's where I differ from you, because I worry that people still don't understand what the word democratic socialist means.
You don't think we would have that covered over 8 months?
Yeah. If I've learned anything in the last 8 years of Barack Obama's presidency, it's just how dumb some Americans are willing to remain. I think people are willing to remain ignorant. It sucks, but people are.
Look, I still hold that there's a slight possibility he's intentionally. I think he.
You're holding out that he's just intentionally doing this.
I think he's thinking the opposite of what you're thinking. I think he's thinking worst case scenario, I'm president. Oops.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Best case scenario, I'm the greatest celebrity of all time.
All right, fair enough. All right, so last subject of the night. So the High Times Cup, we said last week, was moving from Denver to Pueblo. This week, they are moving again from Pueblo to Los Angeles.
To LA.
So everyone who bought their tickets to Pueblo.
Originally.
To anywhere.
Well, supposed to be Denver.
Where's Pueblo?
It's like an hour from Denver.
Denver, yeah. It's Colorado.
But it's like in the middle of fucking nowhere.
They were switching to Pueblo was to have a bigger venue because they were just going to have too many people show up in
it
Denver.
It wasn't just so that. It had to do with that. Now. The Denver Mart wasn't giving them a permit. And it also has to do with I love you, High Times. I love supporting your events. But you got to be like on top of like your booking out dates like further in advance and securing venues further in advance because people book their tickets to go to these and then you'll change the date. Or you'll change the venue last minute. And I know this is iffy because people, you know, the industry is constantly changing. Like they keep canceling events because the laws. But it's like people spend money. They want to come support your event. And then, you know, that's why we don't ever book hotels or book any of our stuff until we have an agreement. You know, we have a contract and we know when for sure. Because originally they were going to do Denver, then it got moved to Pueblo, then they were talking about doing Pueblo, but then doing this like Canna Carnival or something, but then here in LA, and then they moved the Pueblo date from the weekend before to the weekend after 420, and then they switched it to like now it's in LA, but then they're still having the Colorado Cannabis Cup competition, But the U.S. Cup, which is the 420 yearly celebration,
the big
LA. But so that this is what they have it. They have it the. It's going to be the weekend before 420, but then on the 19th, you can get yourself to the Rocky Mountain State and join the cannabis community for a concert series.
So they're going to do it on tax day?
Yeah. No, and then, but it's like, not just that, it's that they're having the major event and all the judging and stuff in
how
California.
Many stoners are going to miss paying their taxes?
And then you're
going to
have to get to Colorado for a day or two to go and go to the con. Like, people aren't going to do that. I mean, I love you guys, but let's be honest.
Stoners and itineraries are just they're not real good friends. As a stoner, if someone even says the word itinerary, I start going, oh, shit. I have to do things. I don't want to do them.
Yeah. This is not going to work out well for attendance.
Yeah, it's still going to do well because it's 420 and people want to get stoned. It's like the fucking Black Friday of weed.
So where and what time is it being held now in Los Angeles? Does it say?
It's the weekend before 420, so it's like the 15th.
So it's not.
17th.
Yeah, that's not 420
and
though.
420 is on a Wednesday. So I mean. That
feeling good on a Wednesday. Hump. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hump. I am Lord.
Hump day.
Well, it was Monday last year because it was leap year. So they did it. They just carried it the weekend into Monday for the 420 celebration. But I think they said that it drew like 30,000 people to Denver. So that's I guarantee most of those people
not even
already booked their tickets. Though.
But that's not even a football stadium. I don't see where these problems for getting people in places. We are talking about a moderately sized baseball stadium's worth of people.
But here's the other thing.
Mine is like 15,000.
This is a competition for people growing cannabis and making products out of cannabis. So if you're entering something and they're changing the date to a week earlier and you haven't started flushing your fucking plants yet it changes who can enter and what they can enter based on if their crops will be ready in time, if the product's going to be ready, if it's not cured yet,
Were doing something special to be ready for that day.
And then they made it the weekend before.
You know how much plants love to travel on planes in high-pressure situations?
Oh, yeah.
They do wonderful.
Or long drives in air-conditioned cars. Come on now. You know these fragile plants love to just...
Well, that is the... marijuana is particularly... For being a weed, it is the most fragile of weeds. If you damage death.
For the level that we want.
I mean, if it's a good strain, it should be resilient.
What we're expecting from that cup, that's like saying the Husky's a resilient breed. You're like, yeah, this particular Husky's been living in this guy's fucking house.
Taint.
Yeah.
This Husky's
while
never,
he got on the airplane.
This Husky's been eating better than most of people in the world today.
Yeah, and has been not moving and sedentary its entire life.
Not quite the same as a pampered Husky. So the weeds that we're talking about, the cannabis cup, are the most babied, taken care of plants on the planet.
It's a marijuana veal, if you will. I know that that's terrible because now we know what veal is, but it kind of is. It's marijuana veal.
Well, this marijuana wasn't kept in a crate and not allowed to be seen the sun.
It kind of was, unless it's outdoor. But unless it's outdoor, it kind of was. It was kept in a crate, and its light was controlled, and it was never moved, and everything was just spoon-fed to it. It's weed veal.
Alex.
I'm sorry. Does that depress everyone that we smoke weed veal?
So what do you got going on? What do you got going on, Justin? What do you got coming up in the future? Where are you going to be?
I'm sorry. Did I make it dark?
Immediately in my future, I'm flushing my mind of all Alex analogies.
Yeah.
Besides that.
Oh, Lord.
Besides that, Alex and I are going up this weekend to Fresno.
Unfortunately, by the time this airs, we'll have already been up there.
That's
but
right.
Yeah,
it was wonderful.
It was wonderful. We will have already been at Mother Mary's for two nights, Thursday and Friday.
The weekend of Cannabis Cup, I'm doing my makeup show in Reno for the weekend I had to cancel. So I'll be there, and then Alex.
And why did you have to cancel again?
Maybe I should go out there with
Korea?
You.
No.
He can't say why he cannot yet say why he was not why okay. he had to cancel the shows.
All right.
It was good.
It's a good reason. People will be very happy to hear about it, but he could
penis
not know.
Reduction.
He had to get that extra 3 inches taken off the end of his dick.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that just be something special? No, and then Alex and I will be at Cinco de Mayo together.
Yes, Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo weekend together in Eastern Washington, living it up. Jokers.
It's in the Tri-City area, ladies
hey,
and
hey,
gentlemen.
What do it's we have fun. In Washington?
It's we have legal weed.
Legal marijuana.
Legal marijuana is awesome.
April, if you want to know how much weed costs out the door.
Out the door.
Oh,
out the door. Oh, we've told the story out the door many times. Out the door. Out the door.
I've bought legal weed in Washington,
too. Was it out the door?
Out the door.
No, it wasn't as expensive as
you said
it was.
Was it $45?
Out the door.
Out the door.
Out the door.
Out the door.
Out the door. I wanted to go out the door because that shit was whack. But
hey, can I have a pipe? No, first what you have to do is you have to go out the door.
And to another register.
To another register. We have to sell that shit differently because we can't endorse you actually using it. What a
Yeah, no. No, the weird thing about I love the Tri-Cities area, but it's a weird pocket of space because it's these three little cities in Eastern Washington that if each one didn't exist, then the other two would die. And there's a nuke plant there that all of these people's parents worked at, so that all their parents are geniuses and scientists.
Hanford nuclear plant.
And these people's children all live in the city. It's kind of amazing. It's a fun place to go, too.
April, but yeah. What's up with you?
What's going on with you, April? What you got going on?
Yeah, I was excited to talk about that. There's this thing tomorrow from when this is airing. Tomorrow, technically Sunday the 12th.
Yeah.
Right? It's a Puff Puff Laugh comedy festival.
Ah.
And they have, like, art, and there's a car show, and there's music, and, yeah, we're going to go cover it.
Oh, nice. car show makes me excited.
The Cantalinguists will be there.
The Cantalinguists will be there. Anything car show just makes me excited because I'm a big gearhead. So
yeah,
I'm excited to be there and see cars.
Flacco is going to be there. Ryan Reeves, Zhivago Blee is the headliner. I am. If anybody's listening, whoever's listening, I know we always do
if
that.
If anyone's listening.
No. Hello.
Please tell me there are people out there.
In there. If you tweet to us, I'm going to give away some tickets.
Sweet.
At Cantalinguists.
Oh.
If you're in the Long Beach area.
Oh, by the way, listener who answered to us about the Fourier Challenge, we've obtained the bottle. We are going to be getting in touch with you to get your address and handle all that stuff. Yeah, don't think we've forgotten
the
about
what?
You.
The what?
We had a Fourier challenge because we
put slow it down there. Captain.
We put it out to
a what challenge?
Fourier. You know Fourier.
Oh, Fourier.
Yeah, you know Fourier.
Legalize orgasm.
Legalize orgasm.
What is the challenge?
Well, we asked any female listeners who have trouble obtaining an orgasm. If they would do a real test for us and go, all right, you have a hard time achieving orgasm. Let's fucking see. Let's do a test on someone we know. So, we've already done the opposite of that. We've had someone who has no trouble achieving orgasm see if this made a difference in the orgasm. And we have that review. So now we're looking for the other end of the spectrum.
Can I give you that review?
You can give me that review.
Okay.
It works.
Yeah.
Oh, is your wife?
What did I just say?
All right, I'm not saying anything.
All you need to know is I've got four empty bottles.
Oh my Lord! Oh my God!
If that isn't an endorsement.
And listen, if there's somebody who's an expert in things that are placebo. You know, I've had plenty of placebo things in my life. Take this and and then I'm like, yeah, this is bullshit, whatever this was, you know. And this is no placebo, folks. It's you can go ahead and do the challenge yourself. Any woman listening right now, benefit.
You can go home and DJ.
Whatever $40 you were going to spend.
Man in the boat. Sorry.
Don't apologize for a man in the boat ride. He rows his boat gently down the stream. You'll row merrily
gently down the stream.
Right to a cream. Anyway, I will say that it will work. $40 never better spent.
Well, there is the ringing endorsement. That being said, thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. Thank you so much to the Crab Diving Network. Thank you, April, for always being the awesome co-host. Thank you, Justin, for being a guest this week.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Riffopolis Studios.
Crab Diving Riffopolis.
And all of that stuff. And we'll see you all next week. Have a good night.